What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I got to sit down and chat with Christopher of the band Eyes Wide Open. They are a Swedish metal band. This episode was sick. Before I give any other details about it, just want to remind you guys, Patreon page is up and running. Great way to support the page. There's a link in the description. If you don't want to do that, if you could rate, like, subscribe, all that stuff, that really helps us out as well. And if you don't want to do that and you just want to listen, that's cool too, and I appreciate you guys. As far as this episode is concerned, great episode. Christopher is very well spoken about music and the industry and being in the band and his story and everything. Super cool episode. I was very grateful to have him on. I believe he's the first musician I've had on from overseas. This episode was badass, so I'm not going to give any other details about it. This is episode 135, goddamn, of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. Enjoy it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I am joined from Christopher. I can't say his last name. I'm going to have him do it because there's no way I'd be able to pronounce it. He is the guitar player for the band Eyes Wide Open. If you guys have never checked them out, definitely go and listen to them real quick before you listen to this podcast. They're sweet. It's like metalcore vibe. They're very, like, there's some catchy parts, there's some heavy parts, they're really awesome. So I'm stoked to have him on the show. I think this is the first person I've had on who is in Europe when I'm talking to him, so I'm stoked on that. Christopher, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey man, nice to be on. So
yeah man,
the last name part, it's Strandberg.
I love that.
Not the most easy to pronounce, I guess, when you're not from Sweden.
No, yeah, I hear it and it just sounds like I can't conceptualize like what it even looks like, so trying to pronounce it would be another thing. So yeah, first of all, like, thank you for coming on, man. I'm stoked. I actually the way I found your band, I can't even remember the name of the song, but there was like a clip on Instagram that came up and a music video, and I was like, man, this is fucking sweet. And it kept like coming up over and over again. And then I was like, I was making a playlist for the gym and I'm like, oh, I got to put that song on. And then I couldn't find it. I didn't know what it was. It was driving me fucking crazy. I couldn't remember any of the words, but I was like, man, it's so fucking good. I got to remember this. And through a sequence of events, I ended up finding it and then kind of did the deep dive. And listen to all your stuff. You guys are great. So let's start with some of the easy questions. How old are you now? And when did you first get into like playing music or making music?
So I'm turning 34 this year. Starting to get old, man. I started music kind of early. I think I was around 8 or something. Started playing some guitar, some basic piano. But it wasn't like until I was, I think, around 14, 15, found out about Iron Maiden and Fear of the Dark. And I really enjoyed that stuff back in the days. So starting to play that with, so that was kind of when I went into metal and, a whole new door opened up. You seen Live Shit by Metallica, that concert?
Yeah, I've never gone to one, but that was actually, Metallica was the first CD that I ever owned. My dad got it for me. It was the Black Record with like Enter Sandman and shit. So like they're definitely a staple. I've never gotten a chance to see them live though.
Nice. So that was kind of the band that really got me going. You know, me and my friend watched a lot of those DVDs and like dreamt about being rock stars, so, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, it's really cool. Like the best part about music and speaking with musicians is kind of how like pure it starts. It's like you're a kid, you hear this sound or this music, and then you're like, I want to make that. I want to stand on stage and play that in front of people. And I think that that's so fucking rad. Are you like classically trained, or did you kind of, are you self-taught, or like what's your background with like learning how to play?
I have gone to a lot of music schools, actually. You know, in Sweden we have that you can start to play an instrument pretty early in life. So I think I started around 9 or something with playing guitar. And then It went on like later in school to studying more music theory and stuff like that, you know, playing together with other people. And then I think I started my first band at like 17, 16 somewhere. Sounded like we recorded our first demo of 4 songs that was written by ourselves, but it sounded pretty much like, you know, 4 Metallica songs. It was kind of more rip-off.
do you still like have access to those? Like, do you go back and listen to your older stuff that you made when you were a kid and kind of have a good laugh about it?
Yeah, I found actually that demo not too long ago, maybe a year ago or something, and I kind of listened to it and was like, oh yeah, have evolved since then.
yeah, that's so funny. And I'm sure the quality of recording is always kind of funny. I like, you know, I was in bands growing up and stuff, and you listen to your older stuff and it's like, man, like, that sounds like absolute shit. Like, how did we put that out into the world?
yeah, definitely. You know, when the guitar distortion sounds like a bee swarm, or how you say it in English.
Right. It's really funny the evolution of how easy it's become to get good at recording, like by yourself now too. If you look at like kids today, a 16, 17 year old kid, if he has a good computer and an interface, can make a pretty professional sounding record. They're very lucky now. It's like a whole other thing. Like, they can, it's a bit more accessible. What was your first experience like going into an actual like studio? Was it like intimidating for you, or were you around it a lot because you had gone to school for stuff, or how was that experience like?
I think like the first thing was with the band I talked about, that demo, and it was that like a friend to me, his dad had a studio in his basement, so we started to record there, and I think everyone was kind of nervous, you know, going there for the first time, even though it was really cool and a lot of buttons and you don't know what any of this those stuff do, but it was great.
Yeah. So, how long ago did you guys put together? Like, when did Eyes Wide Open form, and how did it form? Because you guys definitely have like a very specific sound that's sort of like that melodic metalcore, but you also, because like being from Europe, you can like hear that sort of the like Swedish like death metal type stuff influenced in there. How long ago did you guys get together and start making music?
We started 2011, so last year was like a 10-year anniversary for us. I think everybody kind of knew each other from, you know, playing other bands together earlier and so on. And actually, the singer in our band today was my guitar student back in the days. So that's how we met. And we all kind of came together for the love of those, you know, Swedish melodic death metal bands like In Flames, Soilwork, Dark Tranquillity, and, you know, all that stuff. Yep. And then it just kind of evolved from there. And here we are 11 years later.
Did you have like when you guys got together, was it like, all right, we want to sound like this? Did you guys have that, or was it sort of organic in the way that you guys put your stuff together? Like, did you discuss that beforehand? I always find that like interesting if people are trying to go for a specific sound or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. We were thinking about going for something totally different, like more rock metal thing in the beginning. We tried to write one song in that genre, and it didn't really make the cut. And then we just all felt that to make something that we all feel for real, you know, it needs to come from the heart, pretty much. And this is what came out, pretty much.
I really like you guys have like a really cool blend of like melodic and heavy, and it's kind of hard to write that sort of stuff, or it seems difficult to write that sort of stuff without it being like kind of corny sounding, you know what I mean? It's hard to, because there's so much like melodic metal out there, and it's hard to do that without sounding like just another one of those type, you know what I mean? And you guys have done a really good job. You guys have done a really good job with that. I think your stuff is very dynamic and sounds really cool. What's the writing process like for you guys? Do you guys all pitch in on that? Do you bring the riffs to the table and then kind of chop them up? Do you do it in the studio? Like, what's the process like for you guys when you're writing a record?
So it's usually pretty much the same every time. It's me and Eric, who is the vocalist now, but he used to be the guitar player back in the days. We come together, and usually some of us have like a riff or an idea or a melody or something like that we bring to the table, and then we sit there and kind of evolve a song from there. So we usually start with the music, and during the time we write the music, we usually get some vocal ideas too, and then try to, you know, get down to the basic stuff and nail the verses, the choruses, and then later the other guys comes in and we discuss the song together and what needs to change and what should stay, you know. So that's it's pretty much the same thing every time.
Yeah. So do you guys like? Does it ever end up being like sort of a jam session like that, you know, everybody's sitting in the same room? Yeah, like everybody's sitting in the same room. Yeah, yeah. Do you guys like all get together and put stuff together, or is it always kind of segmented where you kind of bring a riff and chop it like that?
We tried the rehearsal way in the beginning, and I think we have one song that was kind of written that way, like half of it. But I find it kind of hard when actually, like, at least in the beginning of the actual process, like being too many people, it ends up being too many ideas thrown at the table at the same time. And I think you have to go for one specific route to make it happen, to make the song happen. Otherwise, you will, you know, only write a verse or write the chorus and then it will stay there. So we try to keep it down to fewer people in the beginning, and then instead other people can come in later with their thoughts and ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And then kind of like add their particular spark. How about the lyrical stuff? Do people have input on that, or does your vocalist bring like all of the lyrics to the table? Like, how do I know you said you get like vocal ideas and stuff, but as far as like lyrical content, is it kind of up to him, or do you guys all put that pieces together?
It's usually like me and Eric together, even though Eric is the, I would say, like the main writer when it comes to the lyrics. And I think it's a bit easier when it is that way, because it's he who is going to sing the lyrics, so it has to really mean something for him, has to have a deeper meaning for him than I think for the other guys, even though that we want to feel it too. But you know, to bring your feelings into the vocals, you really have to feel them. So usually it's his main words, even though that I sit together with him and we try to evolve it to the best together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. It's very difficult for, cause that's like, I don't play an instrument, but I do vocals, and, it is kind of, I've been in bands where I've been,
More words and then like, do you bring a, a paper and with the lyrics, this is the lyrics, and then we add it to the song, or do you go the other way around?
Well, it depends. Yeah. So like in the past, when I've been in bands that were like just straight up basically hardcore bands, it was, you know, we'd all get in a room together and then they would write something and then I would kind of record it on my phone and go home and write lyrics to it. Or I would have an idea and then kind of like form it to that. But right now I'm in one and a half bands. And the one that I'm in right now, sort of full time, I guess you could say, even though it's not really full time. One of the guys is in Australia and one of the guys is in Los Angeles. And then I'm in New Hampshire. So basically during COVID, when everything was locked down, the guy in Australia reached out to me and was like, you know, I have this 4-song demo that I wrote all by myself. I would love for you to do vocals over it. And I hadn't done vocals in almost 10 years. And so I was like, I was kind of handed this record and I was like, oh, this is sick. I love the music. Like, I'll write some words to it and see what we can do. It took a while for me to get my voice back. But now what we basically do is he writes all of the guitar, all the strings, and then he puts like kind of a skeleton drum track over it, sends it to me. I put the vocals over it and I'll write the vocals. And then we send that to Justin, our drummer, and he does all of the mixing and mastering and then puts live drums over it. So, but my process for the writing of the lyrics, like sometimes I'll write, like I'll have an idea and I'll write it all out and I'll just have the lyrics and then kind of fit them in. And then other times, like I'll put the song on and kind of, you know, walk my dogs or whatever and listen to it and then kind of like feel the vibe of the song and kind of write lyrics based off of that. But I know what you mean when you say like you want him to really be feeling those lyrics, because I've been in twice now, I've been in bands where I've been the second vocalist to be in the band. And having to sing someone else's lyrics is kind of fucking weird.
I understand that. making a cover is something else, but doing it in your own band and like especially in this type of music, you really have to feel it because it's like screaming or singing at the top of your lungs. So you have to push it.
And having something that you really can like identify with and like you said, like you're feeling that song. And I've had it the other way where I've left a band and then had to see someone else singing words that I wrote. And it was, it was weird. Yeah. It was like, you know, the guy didn't do a bad job or anything or what, not like I'm some great vocalist or anything, but he didn't do a bad job, but it was just kind of weird seeing someone do that. And it's like, man, like I wrote that for a specific reason, like for me. And my experiences on it, you know, so it is kind of weird, but, I think it's cool. Like how you maybe have some input and then kind of let him do his thing, because recognizing that it's kind of like you have a lot of trust in that person, right? Because if you guys are out playing, playing shows and stuff, like the front man of your band is the people that is the guy who's going to get the most looks and the most people are, you know, that's the guy who's going to get paid the most attention to. And you're putting trust in him that his lyrics are going to be good and that they're going to make sense and that they're nice. Like, that was something I wanted to touch on too. Like you guys are a heavy band, but lyrically you're not like a negative, brutal band there. It's just kind of seems sort of honest and, some of the stuff is like positive, even if it's about like different struggles or whatever. And I really dig that. It's kind of got like this vibe of positivity behind like this very heavy music. Is that something that you guys had discussed? Like, do you guys have a background in liking bands like that? You know, like bands, you know, As I Lay Dying and Stick to Your Guns and stuff like that, where it's like heavy fucking music, but the lyrics are kind of uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that you kind of nailed it when you said it like that, because it's a lot about a lot of the songs is about struggles in different ways and like dealing with your demons and stuff like that. And but still we try to evolve it. So in the end, it always, you know, try to be positive in some way, you know, like a fighting song in some way. I think that's, I kind of like it that way, because that's how I like to kind of read lyrics myself, or listen to lyrics, or how you say it. But
I think that that's cool too, because it shows people there's like definitely still, even today in fucking 2022, there's still people who think that heavy music or music where there's harsh vocals or breakdowns, they assume that it's negative. They assume it's satanic or whatever, or you hate your dad or whatever other fucking thing. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And it's just not the case. Like, dude, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love me some, you know, negative, brutal, evil metal. Like, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
We all, you know, we all enjoy that shit at times. But I've always appreciated bands that could have that sort of duality. Do you think that like your fans and the kids that are really into you like really identify with that? Like when you play shows, do you feel like that's part of the thing that kind of drives people in? Is that because even the music, you know, sonically, it sounds like bright sounding. You guys aren't using these crazy like dissonant, like downtrodden sounding chords. Like it is sort of bright sounding. Do you feel like that's sort of the draw with like the kids that are into your band?
Yeah, I think so. That in some way, I like when we have been out playing, and a lot of people have, you know, talked to us about how the lyrics have saved them in some way or helped them. And also like you get a lot of messages on Instagram and stuff like that. And just reading that is really cool. Like that, I think that is the, one of the biggest accomplishments you can make, and like it's kind of cool when stuff like that, like it makes the band bigger in, like not for yourself, but it feels like the band is bigger than yourself in some way. Do you understand how I mean?
Like the legacy of it, like the if you can affect, like. I feel the same way with what I do for, you know, I coach people in powerlifting and stuff, and I have a pretty large presence on the internet, and I definitely have people who have said like, you know, this that you said helped me, or that you said helped me. And it's one of those things where it's like, at the end of the day, if you can affect one kid, in a positive way, then like all of it's worth it. Like everything you know, like all of the bullshit and all of the, like for you guys, I'm sure like, you know, touring is not fucking easy, and like this shit is, you're not making millions of dollars. You have to really love it. And when you get those, I found when I get frustrated with what I do, and when I get frustrated with the amount of work that I put into it, all it takes is one message from somebody saying like, hey man, like, I really was affected in a positive way by something you said. All of a sudden, all of that bullshit that you were stressed out about, like, doesn't seem to matter. Doesn't seem like a big deal. Do you guys experience that often? Yeah. I mean, I love that. Like, and it's so cool. Like with music is like something, especially you guys are like, you know, over in Europe but the, like, I don't know if all of your songs are in English, or all of them in English, or some of them, in a different language.
Only English so far. We have talked a little bit about doing like a song, maybe doing it like you do it both in Swedish and English. Would be kind of cool to do. Some other bands have done that too, but it would be cool to try it. But it's so different writing in your like native language. It's I haven't done it that much actually. Mostly have written in English, so.
No kidding.
It would be interesting.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at too, is like, it's you have like a further reach, with the lyrics being all in English. Like if it was just Swedish, like there's people that would get down to it and like it, but I feel like you have a bigger reach when it's in English. Have you guys toured, in the States at all or no?
Not yet, sadly. We like that is of course a big dream for us, but we have we have only been in Europe so far, on a lot of places, but only Europe.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that. Like, do you guys? I have no perception of how big or small your band is because, like, I don't care about that shit. Like, I just like I heard it. It's sweet and like. You know, I forget how we started messing. I think I tagged you guys in a reel or something like that. And we started going back and forth. And I have no perception of how I just like what I like. So I don't know, like, if you guys are a big band, small band, whatever, but I know you've been around for a long time. How is touring over there? Like, how's the music scene? Did you have to pay your dues and play a bunch of like bullshit shows starting out where you're playing in front of 10 kids? Do you play the festivals? Oh, yeah. Like, how is it over there?
Oh, yeah, we have done it all. You know, the tours in the beginning, I remember like one gig we did in 2014. It was somewhere in Belgium, and it was like the worst club ever. But the cool thing is that, like, when we were just about to play, like, we was like, oh, should we cancel this? Like, no one is pretty much here. But then suddenly, like, this was like in the on the countryside somewhere in like a small village, and then just randomly like 8 Eyes Wide Open fans came there and just made the night for us. So that was really cool. I just remember evening still. Yeah,
I love that. And those kids probably fucking remember it too, because it's like I've been at shows like that too, where like your favorite fucking band is playing, or like some band you're super into or just found out about, and you show up and there's no one there and there's 10 fucking kids there. And it's like, man, this is probably a bummer for the band. But as like someone who's there to watch the band, it's fucking sick, because you're like, you're standing right in front of them. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, holy shit, like, they're playing for me. So it's funny that you remember that, because those, I guarantee you, those kids that were there are fucking still hyped on it now. They probably remember it, you know? Yeah. Have you played like have you, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it was such a memorable moment. And the weird thing is that I must say that you remember the hard times on tour more than the great times. That's kind of weird. Of course you remember like the great times too, but we were just comparing too long ago. Like, we have done tours when we have been traveling around Europe in campers, which is kind of harsh after 3 weeks, and then we have done the nightliner tours and all that. And like, the nightliner tours are all good, and you sleep a lot, and it's great gigs. And but like the camper tours are those you really remember, because they were ups big ups and downs, I must say.
yeah. Well, it's called there's this I heard this guy say it on this. It's actually a hunting show that I watch sometimes, but he said the difference between like easy fun and hard fun. So like. Yeah. You know, you'll never say to your buddy like, hey man, like, I had so much fun riding that roller coaster with you 10 years ago. Like, you're never going to say that, because it was just easy fun. You had a good time for 10 minutes and then you were done with it. But like, you will say like you just did, like, I remember that show in 2014 and it was a shit show and there was 10 kids there, whatever, but you remember it. And when you spoke about it in a good way, like it was a good time. And so it makes sense that like those tough tours, because you end up like, that's when you have the most laughs too, when it's like, fuck, we're on the side of the road, we're broken down, what the fuck? But that's when like all the funny shit happens.
Yes.
It just might not be funny in that very moment.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But afterwards, definitely.
Right. Yeah. You look back and you're like, man, like, we were living on, you know, gas station food or whatever for however long. Yeah. Have you gotten a chance to play like some of the like real big shows with like the barrier? Like, I see those shows over in Europe where there's like the fucking big divider down the middle and it's this huge festival. It's outside and all this stuff. Like, have you gotten a chance to play like those big ones?
Not yet, actually. We played a lot of the Swedish festivals, but I think like it feels like Eyes Wide Open started to get somewhere during 2019 when we released the Upside Down record. And you know, then pretty much when we were about to go on tour, Corona came, and so we haven't really had the chance that much to do more of the bigger shows. But I think it feels like they will come pretty soon, we're definitely gonna do them. Like Wacken would be awesome. That's a goal.
Is that like a huge festival? Yeah. All I know is there's like a few, as far as like European stuff, like my knowledge is pretty limited, but I do know that there's like a few bands out that do like better out there than they do out here. You know what I mean? And they're American bands and I don't know why that is, but like, you know, bands like even like Madball and Walls of Jericho and Terror and Lionheart and all these like hardcore bands that seem to do pretty well out here, they go out there and people go fucking ape shit. They go crazy. Is the music scene out there, like, what's it like? Are there lots of bands? Or are people just excited to see those types of bands because they're like an American band coming over there?
I think like it depends a little bit on where in Europe, but like Germany is like a country that it feels like heavy metal is really big there. And the festival I talked about, that's in Germany, and there's a lot of other, you know, really big festivals there. I think during the summer you have a metal festival every weekend pretty much.
Wow.
So it's kind of nuts. I remember I watched a Lamb of God DVD a few years back, and they talked about like coming to Europe, and it's just insane when you come to those festivals. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, the big, like, those style of like those like American metal bands or like American hardcore bands, they seem to do very well over there. The same way that I'm sure if you guys came over here, you would do well over here, because it's like when you only have one chance to see a band every couple years, like you're gonna go fucking bananas at the show. So the shows end up being like really, really cool. I know, like, I have a few friends who, obviously it's a different sort of music, but a few friends who got tickets to see Rammstein when they came out here. I saw them years and years ago, like probably 2012 or something, 2010, when they came out here. And it was always fucking wild because it's like, you never know when they're going to come back. It's such a big trip, you know.
They are a wild band.
yeah, they're show. The shows are crazy. Fucking- the shows are out of control, and but I really like that sort of like theatrical stuff, and I also dig like when bands just go up and play music, and there's not a big show. Like, I'm a fan of both. Two different vibes. Like, what kind of live performance do you guys put on? Is it very high energy? Do you have lots of stuff going on? You're not a huge, you don't have a bunch of members. It's pretty normal set of guys. Like, what's your live performances like?
We try to keep them high energy to kind of, how do you say it? To show what the music is all about. We are not like that. How do you say it? Theoretical?
Theatrical.
No? yeah,
close. Yeah.
close enough. we're not like Rammstein or Ghost or anything like that. It's pretty much just us doing the best we can do, and trying to kick as much ass as possible. Of course you have to bring a show, otherwise you can sit home and listen to the record instead. So you have to bring something to the live show to make it special and memorable.
Yeah. And you want people to have a good time. Do your shows get pretty wild? I got to assume lots of fucking circle pits and shit.
Yeah. We, I remember it was, we played in Kiev in Ukraine, back in 2015, I think it was. We played as support to Hatebreed. And remembered that gig was so wild. There was like three mosh pits going on at the same time, and you just stood there and was like, "Oh, this is insane."
Yeah, that feels good when you can. Like, I'm sure it feels good when you look out and you see just like fucking mayhem. That must be really fun. What's the metal scene like out there? Because the other thing that I see a lot of is like mixed shows out there where it might be like, you know, a Christian metal band, a hardcore band, a death metal band, and they're all playing like one show. And out here, the mixed genre shows, there's usually like lots of fights and they're fun to go to because it's like lots of confrontation and it's kind of wild and fun and whatever. But they try to, it seems like a lot of, well, now it's kind of changing, but for the most part, it's always been like, this is a hardcore show. So it's going to be four hardcore bands on the lineup. And then this is a metal show. And it's going to be four metal bands on the lineup. What's it like out there? Is it pretty good about with the mixed genres?
I think it's pretty much the same here with the trying to keep it kind of to one genre, but there's also like a lot of bands which bridge the genres too. So, but it's kind of funny that you said this about like the mixed shows being more like people fighting and stuff because we had in Sweden, we had like, you know, those mixed festivals when it's all different kind of genres. And those were always like going wild and shit, bad stuff happened. And then we have this festival called Sweden Rock Festival, which has been around for a pretty long time now. And it's like the biggest rock festival in Sweden. And it's like the calmest festival ever. It's like the worst thing that happened was like someone fell into someone else and they started fighting a little bit. But that was the worst thing that happened.
Yeah. It's funny, man. When you get everybody, like they would assume, it's funny too, because people outside of metal and alternative music would think that every show is just going to have tons of fights and tons of bullshit. And it's like, I don't know. Most of the time they go off, everybody goes off without a hitch. It's like, there might be, you know, some violence, like violent things happening, but it's not a fist fight between two people who hate each other. It's generally it's like generally like an expression of whatever the music is making them feel. I know that sounds corny, but that's really what's happening is like, you know, they hear the music and they're expressing what they're feeling or whatever. As far as sort of switching gears a little bit, as far as like the band and everything, like, are you guys all like real close? Do you guys practice frequently? Or is it one of those things where you guys are kind of spread out and get together every once in a while? Like, how's that all like work out with everything? You guys see a lot of each other and practice a lot? Or is it just like when you're getting ready for tours and whatnot?
So we have like three of us live here in the same town. And then we have our drummer who lives in Germany. He lives in Hamburg and Berlin. We would love to practice more than we do, but of course this makes it a bit hard. But then I also think that like being at a band on this level, it's so much more than about, you know, practicing. But like just the hanging out part is also so important. So we always try to get together more often than not, just to hang out and always do when we release something, we try to celebrate it together and drinking some beers and having weird Instagram lives. And
yeah, that's awesome.
We had one of those when we finished our last record, and we kind of went nuts and like used our you know those smoke machines that shoot smoke up in the air like a tower, pretty much.
Yeah,
we used them in the studio going wild. So it was live on Instagram. So
it that's was awesome. Time. Yeah. I love that shit, man. Like, it seems like making music helps people like stay young. You know what I mean? Yeah, like definitely. You have like you get to hang out with the boys and like have your fun time and like let it all kind of hang out. I think it's interesting too, like the dynamic of being in a band is like everybody's got to be able to play their instrument or whatever, and everybody has to be creative and whatever. But when it really comes down to it, it's like I would rather have a guy who's a little like not as good at playing but is cool to be around. You know, it's like
it's so cool that you say this, because that's like the foundation we started the band on. We kind of said that even like out to other people, this was like, yeah, we chose members because we really like each other and we have the same goal, like the same vision and stuff like that. So it's really cool that you say this.
Yeah, it's like, man, you end up in a room. You have to be able to be friends with everybody in the band, or at least get along, because at some point you're going to bring something to the table, like a riff or an idea or whatever, or some art or whatever, and someone's not going to like it. And they're going to say like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. It's like, if you're not friends with that guy, it gets ugly. Like, it could be not a fun thing. So it's like, if you're all homies and you all get along, it's a lot easier to be like, bro, like, I love you, you're my friend, but that riff sucks. Like, it makes it a little easier to have those conversations. And I've definitely like been in bands before where there's like the one guy where you're like, this guy is fucking brutal. Like, I don't want to hang out with this guy. You know, and that shit sucks, because you do end up spending so much time together. And like I said, it's like, no one's making millions doing this, you know, no one's, you know, getting rich out of their mind. So it's like, you have to have a fun time with it. It's like not worth it. Do you do stuff like outside of Eyes Wide Open? Do you have any music that you make outside of that, where you kind of branch away from the metal side of things? Or is this like the only music that you're making?
So I have a music studio too. I work as a producer. So I work with so much different genres. I must say it's everything from pop to country music to rap and stuff like that too. So it's like just going wild with the genres. But I'm trying to for myself. I also do some vocal covers and stuff like that. But like the band takes a lot of energy, so I don't feel like I pretty much have any more time to do any more music outside of the band, like personally.
Sure.
And also like outside the studio, because when you are done with the studio, when you're done with a band, you don't really want to see any more music for that day.
I understand. Yeah, it's like I can totally understand. I coach lifters. I own a gym, and I'm a lifter myself. Cool. So there gets to a point where it's like, all right, I need like an escape from this. That's actually like one of the reasons why I got back into making music again, was because it's like, I need a creative outlet that's not powerlifting. You know, I need to do something, you know what I mean? And so I totally know what you mean. It's like, if you've been hustling and writing music for Eyes Wide Open, and then you got to go produce a country record or whatever, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, fuck, all right, no more music for the rest of today.
And then you're just done.
do you find that like some of the stuff maybe that you're producing, since it is out, like, you know, different genres, do you think that that helps you creatively, because you're not stuck just like listening to heavy stuff all day? It's like, I've always found that some of my more creative moments were born from me like listening to something that wasn't heavy, and it kind of gave me, you know, it gave me an idea, or it just like freed my mind up a little bit to be open to different ideas. Do you find that working with the different artists and different bands like helps you stay fresh?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think there are like good music in pretty much every genre there is, almost. It feels like you can grab ideas and especially like when it comes to production wise, like finding different ideas, and you know, every genre is special in some way, but it's also pretty much the same when you brew it down to like song structure and melodies. You can, it's pretty much the same, but production wise, it's kind of different, if you understand how I mean.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So you'll find like different, I know my buddy, we have I don't want to call it a side project, but there was I was in a metalcore band like years ago, 8 or 10 years ago. And during COVID, we actually found some of the old recordings. And so the guitar player and myself are kind of revamping those songs. And he's got a little studio And it's crazy how far music has come with like the recording options and all that stuff. So I'm sure, you know, when you're going back and forth between like a rock band, a hip hop record, whatever it may be, like the tonal stuff that you can do and all the different interfaces and all that stuff, like I'm sure you probably helps come up with ideas for, you know, whatever guitar tone or samples or whatever you might use on an Eyes Wide Open track. Is that accurate?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. And it's kind of interesting because different genres, like different stuff are more important in different genres. You know, some genres are more about the vocals, but when it comes to metal, it feels like it's more like the overall thing, like the drums and the guitars are equal as important as the vocals. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting when it comes to, it's also like when I have other friends who are also producers, and how you do stuff differently from what you're listening to and what you're working with, like how you mix stuff. It's kind of interesting. So I feel like working with different genres definitely helps, at least it does for me, to bring something new to the table and to always evolve, because I think like always evolving and get better and better, that's like the key to a happy life. So I try to do that.
Yeah, I really like that too. It's like you want to stay true to yourself, but also continue to kind of grow. And you know, this podcast, I talk about it a lot, like personal development and like growing as a human being. And like, you're not the same person you were 5 years ago. Like hopefully you've become a better person, you know, and like, and the same thing holds true with music. Like, it's like, obviously if you listen to the first record you put out with your band, like it's not going to sound exactly the same. It's just going to be, hopefully the newest record is the best record, like, because you've gotten fucking better at your craft or whatever.
Exactly.
So I think that's really, admirable of you to say that, like, you're constantly trying to grow. Cause it's probably pretty easy to get into the rhythm of just writing the same fucking riff over and over again and kind of just producing the same shit. But it seems like you're very aware of wanting to make new stuff and make it different and all that.
Yes.
Are there any plans for the future? Like, what's going on with the band? Like, what do you guys have coming up? Anything that we need to keep our eyes out for or anything?
Yeah, so we released a new single last Friday called Cross My Heart. So you can go check out that. And we're going to try to release some more songs during this year. And that's pretty much where we are right now. So, stay tuned.
Are you working on like a full length? Or are you guys just putting out singles now and kind of figuring it out from there?
Still a secret.
Okay, fair enough. I like the mystery.
Yeah, cool.
I like the mystery. That's good. No, you gotta keep them asking questions, bro. I get it. That's don't give away anything. I like that. Well, hey man, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Do you want to give out your social media stuff, where people can find you, where people can find the band, where people can find the music, all that stuff?
Yeah, sure. We are EWO_SWE, so EWO_SWE at most places, so like Instagram and stuff like that. And we're Eyes Wide Open, of course, on Spotify and all that jazz. So if you search for Eyes Wide Open, you will probably find us somewhere.
Excellent. Yeah. And I'll link that in the episode and all that stuff. Well, cool, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Guys, that's all we got for today. Make sure you're following my personal page, AnthonyCW13. The trigger warning page is trigger_warning_conjugate for all of your snapback mental Monday needs. And then make sure you're following the gym page as well. Anchor Athletics NH. We got a bunch of cool stuff going on there. That's all we got for today, guys. Thanks again for listening to the TWC Stay Hated podcast. And as always, stay hated, motherfuckers.